Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidil mursaleen Amma ba'd Fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim Bismillahir rahmanir rahim Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulallah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah Assalatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, welcome back to another episode on this wonderful Silsila Early Echo. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, we are enjoying the bounties, the blessings of this magical month of blessed Ramadan, Ramadan Kareem, Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Make the most of every precious moment because we may not get it again. We may not see another Ramadan. So take your time and invest it as much as you can in maximum ibadat for this special guest from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have another beautiful discussion today, and I am hoping that you will stay tuned right to the end. We will share some Madani pearls of advices as well. And before we move further, let's recall the beautiful hadith, Niyatul Mu'mini Khayrum Min Amalihi, the intention of a believer is better than his action. Make some good intentions today. Make them right now. That, oh Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm listening, I'm watching this silsila, this program of Madani channel for your rida, for your pleasure and happiness, for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What I learn, I will try to practice and share with others. By sharing with others, we will be fulfilling a command of the Holy Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ballighu anni walau ayah, that convey on my behalf even if it is one verse, one statement. And that's our responsibility as Muslims. Individually, that is our responsibility, that I must extend this beautiful teaching of Islam, this beautiful religion of Islam, to others out there. And those Muslims who are wayward and gone off track, try to bring them back, starting with your family members. So each Muslim individual out there, this is their responsibility. Whatever other good intentions you can think of, make it now to gain maximum thawab from the court of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, there are so many wonderful, beautiful blessings, benefits, bounties for the fortunate Muslims who recite abundant amounts of Durood-e Pak, salawat or salutations upon the cause of creation, the cream of creation, the crown of creation, the owner of Jannah, the knower of the unseen, the intercessor of the Ummah, our most merciful master, the last prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who recites salawat, durood-e pak, or salutations upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1,000 times daily will not die until he sees his place in Jannah. Allahu Akbar. I'm sure every Muslim out there would want this grand opportunity, this great fortune. We have to work for it. How do I work for it? By obeying Allah Azza wa Jal and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, by reciting Durood-e Pak 1,000 times every day. So don't waste your time in unnecessary things. Don't waste your time in frivolous works, in conversations and things that are not going to help you, benefit you, assist you. Do as much ibadat as possible. Let's read Durood-e Pak together. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, we are today discussing the Queen of Jannah, the Queen of Paradise, the leader of the ladies of Jannah, the beloved of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none other than Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the honorable daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by extension, we will be discussing about the Ahlul Bayt Adhar, the purified and pure household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidah Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was the youngest of the daughters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She was very attached to him, very close to him. And when you study and you research and you read about the relationship between the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his honorable daughter Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiyallahu ta'ala anha, you will be amazed at what a strong bond they had. And yes, you know, as we all know it, that daughters are a father's weakness, that's for us. And daughters have a special a place in the heart of the father. Subhanallah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a special bond with Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu anha. The respect, the mutual respect, subhanallah, azza wa jal, is amazing. That it is mentioned in the summary of narrations that when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit her, she would stand out of respect for him. And vice versa, when she radiallahu ta'ala anha would visit the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself used to stand out of honor for his beloved daughter, subhanallah. She is one of the prime examples as a role model for our Islamic sisters out there, for our mothers, our daughters, our wives and our sisters out there, really. And this is an advice that our ulama ikram, our honorable scholars of Islam give, that study her life, especially Islamic sisters out there. I mean, there's too many female role models out there for our Islamic sisters. Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, Sayyidah Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and so many other sahabiyat, Sayyidah Rabi'a Basriya radiallahu ta'ala anha. And you know, the list goes on, there's so many of them. And look how wholesome, productive and Islamic lives that they lived, and tried to emulate them, tried to imitate them, subhanallah. Sayyidah Fatima Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, some of her appellations, some of her titles are Zahra, Abatul, subhanallah. And she was born 5 years before the announcement of prophethood, before I'lan Nubuwa. Now keep in mind that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at 40 years old did not become a prophet of Allah. He announced his prophethood to the people. He made it known to the public that I am a prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. Subhanallah. And he did not become a prophet at 40 years. This is one of the famous misconceptions that people have in their minds, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became a prophet at that age. No, there's no such thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already a prophet of Allah when Nabi Adam ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam was in the process of being created, was between water and clay, subhanallah. He was already a prophet. So i'lan nubuwa, meaning the announcement of prophethood, took place at 40 years of age, subhanallah. And Sayyidah Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was born 5 years before this incident, before this announcement. She was born 5 years before. She has other beautiful and honorific titles as well. Ummul Had, Umme Abiha, Ummul Hasanain, subhanallah, azza wa jal. Hasanain, referring to Sayyidina Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. She is, of course, we all know it, the leader of the women of Jannah, the leader of the women of the worlds. She radiyallahu ta'ala anha married and was in nikah with the fourth Khalifa of Islam, the fourth successor of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Shere Khuda Asadullah, the Lion of Allah Azza wa Jal, Sayyidina Mawla Ali, Karamallahu Ta'ala Wajhahul Kareem. And Allah Azza wa Jal blessed them with 3 sons, Sayyidina Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, and Imam Muhsin radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Allah also blessed them with three honorable daughters, Sayyida Ruqayya, Sayyida Zainab, and Sayyida Umm Kulthum radiyallahu ta'ala anhunna, subhanallah. Sayyida Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha was very, very patient. She had extreme patience in her life. She used to always be engaged in ibadat, subhanallah. She never made demands from Mawla Ali karumullah ta'ala wajhahul kareem. And one of the principles that she lived by was that she would not eat even a single morsel until she fed her children and her husband first. Allahu Akbar. She wouldn't eat. She would wait for them to eat and then she would eat a little bit. Subhanallah. That there was no needy person that would return empty-handed. Whatever little she had, she would give it to them in charity, in sadaqah. Even in the times of her own poverty and hunger, subhanallah, she would not let the needy person go empty-handed from her door. And as per her routine, she would remain engaged in performing salah all night long until the morning. Allahu Akbar. This is that family that chose this position. Otherwise, they could have had an abundance of materialistic worldly wealth if they so wished. If there's any nobles in Islam, it is these. These are the nobles, the Ahlul Bayt Athar, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So dear Islamic brothers, dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, these are the true nobles. If there is any nobles out there, then these are the ones. These are the royals, the family of the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the day of judgment, it is this family that the ties will be maintained, of this family only. All other family ties of other families will be cut, will be removed, won't exist anymore. And we must give, not just we should give, but we must give due respect to the Ahlul Bayt Athar. I'm sure each one of us knows some person who is a Sayyid. Sayyid meaning a person who is from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In some places they say Sadat, in other places they say Sharif, but it all means that the person is from the family and lineage of the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and due respect has to be given to them, subhanallah azza wa jal. It is mentioned in the book Uyunul Hikayat. This is a publication of Maktabatul Madina, the publications department and bookshop of Dawud Islami, that Sayyiduna Abu Abdullah Waqidi Qadi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says, once, on the occasion of Eid, I didn't have any money to cover my expenses. I had a little bit, but I couldn't cover all of the expenses. And it was, and Eid was fast approaching. These were the days of immense poverty. At that time, Yahya ibn Khalid Barmaki, he was the ruler of that area at that time. Eid was drawing close, but still we had nothing. My maid came to me and said that Eid is just around the corner, but we don't have anything to cover our household expenses. Please arrange something so that the family can also experience Eid like the others, the happiness of Eid. He says, I went to a businessman friend of mine, a friend of mine who was a business individual. I told him of my troubles, the circumstances that I'm in. He immediately gave a sealed package and he said it contains 1,200 dirhams. Subhanallah. I brought this sealed package home and I gave it to the family members. And I mentioned to them, please use this to prepare adequately for Eid. Have some peace of mind then inshallah azza wa jal we will happily pass Eid in this way. We did not even open that sealed package. And we hear a knock on the door. I open the door and I see one of my other friends. And that friend was a Sayyid. That friend was from the family of the noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And he says, I am in a little bit of financial difficulty and I need to provide for my family. Can you please assist me? Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. Allah, Allah, Allah. When this great scholar, he hears this and he thinks to himself that, what should I do? I need this money to cover my own expenses and to prepare for Eid for me and my family. But now there is a noble Sayyid who is standing in front of me and asking for financial assistance. He goes to his wife and says that, what should we do? Should we lend him half of the money? 600 dirhams? So that he can at least help his family and we can help our family? Listen to what his honorable wife replies. The wife says that, when you went to your friend, the businessman, to complain about your plight, he gave you this package containing 1,200 dirhams. But now, one of the blessed offspring of the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is requesting you, is asking you, subhanallah azza wa jal, what does your love accept? That you give him half? Allahu Akbar. She says, go and take this entire package, this entire amount, and place it at the feet of that noble Sayyid. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Give him everything. When he hears this, he gets enthusiastic. And when he hears these love-filled words of his honorable wife, love for the Ahlul Bayt, subhanallah, he goes immediately, he takes that package of 1,200 dirhams, and he goes to that noble Sayyid friend of his and says that, this is for you. Make sure that your family is happy. Subhanallah. Sayyid Saab, he makes dua for that person, dua for this noble scholar, and then he leaves. Allahu Akbar. Sayyiduna Abu Abdullah Waqidi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he's now thinking, What should he do? He's pondering. When the noble Sayyid reaches his home, he is visited by one of his friends. And who is one of his friends? The businessman who lent Sayyiduna Waqidi rahmatullah ta'ala ali that money is also a friend of the Sayyid Saab. Subhanallah. And what does he say? He says, oh noble Sayyid Saab, I am currently experiencing financial problems. Can you lend me some money? When the noble Sayyid Saab hears this, immediately he goes, he takes the same package, the sealed package, and he says, go, use this money. Subhanallah. The businessman, when he sees that sealed package, immediately he recognizes it. That this is the same one I gave to Sayyidina Waqidi rahmatullah ta'ala ali. Allahu Akbar. And he goes to the house of Sayyidina Waqidi rahmatullah ta'ala ali. And he says that, tell me, where's the money that I lent you? And then he revealed the entire story, that the noble Sayyid Saab is also my friend, and therefore the money that you lent me, the same money, without even opening that package, I lent to him. Subhanallah, subhanallah, azza wa jal. And then the businessman says, the money that I lent you was the only money I had. And I was in dire circumstances and I went to him because he's my friend also. And he gave me the very same thing that you lent him. Allahu Akbar. By doing this, all of us preferred the other over ourselves and sacrificed our own happiness for the happiness of others. I just want to pause here for a little while. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, when last have I made a real sacrifice? That is something that I really wanted. But there was another individual who was needy of it. It was something I wanted, wasn't a need. Even if it was a need, but somebody else was perhaps more needy, that I said, you know what, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, give this to them as a gift or as a loan. They can use it more in a better way. It will benefit them and their family more. When last did I do this? Starting with my family members, because definitely in your own family, you will find people who are financially poor. Ramadan is here. Do I know that my family members, they have enough for their iftar and sahri? That they are not going to sleep half hungry or completely hungry? If Allah has blessed you with wealth, nobody is saying give all of your wealth, whatever money you earn from your salary, take it and just distribute it in sadaqah and charity. No, nobody is saying that. According to your financial capacity, according to your pocket, how much you can you afford? That, okay, you know, I can use all of this for my bills, to pay my bills. Because let's face it, there are some people out there who are working full-time. Permanently they are working. But by the first week, their money has almost depleted, almost run out. By paying for their water, for their lights, for rent or for rates, for these bills, school fees, and look at the petrol price, food on the table, and other in-between expenses. Before they know it, they just left with so little bit that they're thinking, if some emergency comes up, what am I going to do? And they would fall in the category of shari'i faqir, that zakah is not compulsory upon them because they don't have, they just have a few rands or dollars or pounds or euros, whatever currency you have in your country. Just a little bit, because everything is gone in the bills. Everything is gone for the groceries. So they qualify, in fact, to receive zakah, although they are working. So do I know about it? My employees, if I'm a Muslim businessman and I have Muslim employees, am I trying to squeeze them extra in this month of Ramadan? Or I'm giving them extra? That, you know what, okay, you're not earning top salaries, top bracket wages. Give a little bit extra, okay? They'll use it for the iftari. We have husni dhan. We have a good thought about fellow Muslims. That, you know, perhaps it will help them. So I need to identify. I need to, according to my financial ability, help others. If you provide, subhanallah, listen to this. If you provide iftar, a meal for a fasting person, then you will get the thawab and reward of that fasting person. So some people said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm giving you the summary of it. That Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't have wealth to provide a meal for a fasting person. And the beloved master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that even if you provide a sip of milk, if you provide one khajur, one date, one sip of water to a fasting person, you'll get that thawab. Allahu Akbar. How simple, how easy it is. So it's up to me whether I want to make excuses or I want to do something about it to earn maximum reward in this short window, this short period of the spiritual investment of Ramadan, the special guest. I need to fulfill its rights. If I violate its rights, then there's a problem. So think about each other. Help each other. It's mentioned by our Akabirin, our elders, our seniors, our scholars, our mashaykh, that each family out there that is able to prepare their food items before Ramadan, try to look for another family, a Muslim family that is poor and can't afford it. They are just living on the absolute basics. They can't even afford new clothes for their children for Eid. Allahu Akbar. And here we are, we buy so many sets of clothing. So look for, start with your family, your own blood, start with them. Charity begins at home. You know, Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, he advises us that, I'm sure by now you know that Dawat-e-Islami is global. It's working in so many different fields and departments. It's positively touching the lives of millions of people around the world. It's there to uplift the ummah, motivate, encourage the ummah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So many services are free of charge. Our Madrasatul Madina for our children, for teenagers. Specialized Madrasatul Madina for males and separately for females. Madrasatul Madina online, and more than 30 different courses are available online. Subhanallah. Jami'atul Madina, the Darul Ulooms of Dawud Islami for males and separately for females. So much of this is fi sabilillah, it's free of charge. And it's possible because of your donations. But as Amir Ahl-Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhumul Aliyah, the founder of Dawud Islami, says that your zakah, your sadaqat, that before you give your Dawat Islami, identify if there's any of your family members that qualify as recipients of zakah. Give them also. Then give to your Dawat Islami. By spending on your own family, by being charitable towards them, you will get double thawab. Two rewards. One is of giving the sadaqah, the charity. And the other is of maintaining and strengthening family ties. You don't have to tell them. If you know, guaranteed that that person, that family, that individual is eligible to collect zakah. If you know it confirmed, you don't have to tell him, I'm giving you zakah, to make him feel embarrassed that, or make him feel low. If you know that he won't mind it, just as a confirmation, that's a different story. But support your poor Muslim families out there. Support your Dawat-e-Islami that is working around the globe. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. You know, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Dawat-e-Islami gives us opportunities to earn more thawab. Our Madani Marakis, our Masajid, our Islamic centers provide iftari for the menfolk that come to the masjid. And Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, Munajat Iftar is recited. Dua at the time of iftar is recited. And an iftari is laid out for the menfolk. So you can contribute as well. Try to keep in touch with your local Madani Markaz and Islamic Center of Dawat Islam. So this story, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, it continues. That from way to way, that Sayyidina Waqidi Rahmatullah Ta'ala Ali, because of his financial circumstances, and because Eid is coming up and he doesn't have money, he goes to his businessman friend, he loans him 1,200 dirhams in a sealed package. And then later on, a noble Sayyid, friend of Sayyidina Waqidi, rahmatullah ta'ala, he comes to him asking for financial assistance. He takes the same money and gives it to him. The noble Sayyid goes home. After some time, that first businessman friend, he then comes to the noble Sayyid, who's also his friend, and says, please help me. And he takes the same package and gives it to him. And then he confronts Sayyidina Waqidi, rahmatullah ta'ala, who says that this is the situation. I gave it to him. And say, the businessman friend says that I went to him and he gave me the very same package. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. And the story continues. Are we deriving lessons from this? That preferring the better things for others. Sacrificing. Islam is the name of sacrifice. And believe me, when you get the taste of sacrificing for others, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you don't want to stop. Because you know that, you know, it gives you internal pleasure. When you see the smile on a person's face, when you see them making dua for you, it gives you a sort of a deep down happiness, fulfillment, that you know what, at least I'm trying my best to please my Allah. My Allah knows when you're doing your good. Try to hide it. Don't tell the whole world and publicize it and make announcements that, hey, you know what, I helped this person. When you're helping somebody, when you're assisting them,
Don't remind them. Don't go there and start taking out pictures and photos of them taking those grocery hampers and then post it on your web pages and social media. That's embarrassing. Yes, if you want to take pictures, if the donor says they want to see pictures, then take off the items that you have invested their money in. That these are the items I'm going to distribute. And you can send it to them as a confirmation if they need to. Otherwise, don't take their pictures. That is embarrassing. That is humiliating. Just to further my own organization. No, Daud Sami doesn't believe in that. We should stop doing that. Give the person wholeheartedly for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Don't remind the person. And you remember, I helped you last Ramadan. Remember, I helped you with this money. I helped you here. I helped you there. And trying to expect something in return. It doesn't work like that. Charity, give it with a sincere heart, with a clean heart. And don't expect nothing back from that individual. Because our reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah through His mercy will bless me, will grant me a reward for this. Subhanallah azza wa jal. So as I mentioned, the story continues. Now this whole incident, it reaches the ears of the ruler Yahya bin Malik Barmaki. This incident of where each one is loaning the other until it reaches to the person who was the owner of that money, the businessman. So the ruler, he hears about it and he sends a courier. He sends one of his messengers with a certain message that, and this message is for Sayyidina Waqidi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi, and to be shared with his businessman friend and the noble Sayyid Saab as well. And also his honorable wife. What does the ruler say? The ruler says that because of my responsibilities, I was not aware of your situation. But now, I am sending my servant with 10,000 dirhams. From this, 2,000 are for you. That is Sayyidina Waqidi rahmatullah ta'ala alayhi. 2,000 are for the businessman. And 2,000 are for the noble Sayyid Saab. The remaining 4,000, that is for your well-fortuned and honorable wife. Because she is the best example of devotion to the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam amongst you. Allahu Akbar. How Allah Azza wa Jal opens the doors of a person. Person will complain that, I don't see the barakah, I don't see the blessings. Perhaps I am doing something, saying something that is closing those doors or keeping the doors closed. Am I truly obedient to Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do I love all the Sahaba ikram, Ahlul Bayt and Awliya Allah? Am I trying my best to follow the Sunnah, to follow the injunctions and commands of the glorious Quran? Am I doing my best to establish my 5-time salah and perform it properly? Am I fulfilling the rights of others? Subhanallah. I need to have my house in order. And then through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, as you heard in this incident, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the controller of everything. He is the creator of opportunities, the solver of problems, the remover of difficulties. He will open the doors. Subhanallah. Shaykh al-Tariqat Amir Ahl-Sunnat Hazrat Allama Mawlana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Dam Barakatuhum Al-Aliya was asked a question that if there's no proof that a certain individual is actually a Sayyid, should he then be respected? We don't have proof, we don't know his family tree, his lineage, his ancestry. And he, Dam Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, replied, respecting somebody is not based on certainty or a specific proof of lineage. For this reason, whoever is known to be a Sayyid should be accepted as a Sayyid and respected. Accepted and respected if the person is known to be a Sayyid. Without any need of searching and researching their lineage, as we have not been ordered to do this, then the person says they are Sayyid, take their word for it. especially if they are known to be Sayyid. Our master, our leader, Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Muhaddith al-Bareli, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he was asked about an individual who demanded proof of a person's lineage. He demanded proof from the Sayyids regarding their lineage, and he would speak against them if they could not produce any proof. So Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi replies, this servant has repeatedly issued the fatwa. What kind of fatwa? That in order to accept someone as a Sayyid and respect them, it's not necessary to look for proof of their lineage, that this person is indeed a Sayyid. We have no need to undertake any kind of research or to demand a proof of lineage from the Sayyids. Now, to forcibly demand somebody to show the proof of their lineage and speak against them and damage their reputation if they don't produce proof, these acts are all haram, are prohibited. Allah Hazrat rahmatullahi ta'ala ali has further said that people are truthful about their lineage. Of course, if we genuinely 112% are aware that a certain person is not a Sayyid, but he's telling the people that he is a Sayyid, if you know and you can corroborate this and you know for a surety that the person is not a Sayyid, but he's bluffing and he's lying to the others, to people out there that don't know, in order to emotionally manipulate them and extract maybe money from them or favors from them, then in this case, we won't respect that person as a Sayyid, and we will not refer to the person as a Sayyid. And it is appropriate to inform those who are unaware of this person who's claiming to be a Sayyid. Because this is fraud, this is lies. Because the person is doing so in order to gain some worldly benefits. And this is evil, this is wrong. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, you know, we are listening to about the offspring of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha, that is the Ahlul Bayt Athar. Your normal family structure, the lineage flows from the father. This is why the offspring take on the father's surname and is identified via the father. But this is that unique family that the lineage continues from the daughter, from Sayyidatuna Fatimatu Zahra radiallahu ta'ala anha. This is the most exclusive family, especially in this regard, subhanallah. That from her, from Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, today we have thousands or hundreds of thousands out there that proudly say that I am Hassani Sayyid, I am Husseini Sayyid, subhanallah. Look at our Khwaja Ghareeb Nawaz rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. Look at our Ghawse Pak Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who are both Hassani and Husseini Sayyid from both parents' side, subhanallah. And Allah Azawajal always keep us under their shade. These are the most respectable individuals of our society. If you know about a Sayyid Saab, maybe in your locality, who's going through whatever kind of difficulty, maybe can't afford the doctor's fees, can't afford the operation, can't afford the bare needs and necessities to be fulfilled, go and help according to what you're able to. Maybe you don't have money. Maybe you have a doctor friend. Influence them, make their minds that, you know, this is from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help them, Allah will reward you. You know, but in whichever way you can, by doing this, you will be pleasing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pleased with you, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with you. And if Allah jalla jalaluhu is pleased with you, through His mercy, you will gain entry into Jannah. Allahu Akbar. But try your best to give the necessary respect and assistance where needed to the noble Sadat, the noble Ashraf, the Shurafa and the Sharifs and Sayyids, the from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. In the famous book called Mukashafatul Qulub, published also by Maktabatul Madina, a very beautiful narration is mentioned. I want you to listen carefully and think about it. There were some young daughters of Sayyids that lived in a certain home with their families. The father passes away and leaves those young daughters as orphans. They were then suffering great poverty and deprivation. The situation was such that the mother migrates from her native country with those young Sayyida daughters to another place altogether. Allahu Akbar. And they lived by a masjid. There was an abandoned masjid. They lived there in another area, another city far away from their native land. And nobody knew them. The mother was desperate. And she would leave them because they were young daughters. She would leave them there and go out to search for food to feed herself and the young daughters. One day she goes to this wealthy individual in the city. The person was a Muslim and she told him about her dire circumstances. He refused to believe her and said that, bring me a witness who's able to verify your story, that you are Sayyid and you have young Sayyida daughters and the father, your husband passed away and you don't have food to eat. Bring me a witness. Allahu Akbar. She replied that I am a stranger in this land. I'm from another area. Nobody knows me and I don't know anybody here. How can I bring you a witness? He insisted, no, you bring me a witness, then I will think about supporting you. So she leaves from there despondent and empty-handed. Subhanallah. She then goes and she sees a non-Muslim and she asks him, can you assist me and my young daughters? We are from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My husband passed away. We migrated from that other area and I don't know anybody here. Immediately he accepted her story as being truthful. What she said, he accepted it immediately. He sent one of his servants with her to bring the young daughters to his home and he served them with whatever he was able to. He didn't leave any stone unturned. Half of the night passed. The wealthy Muslim who refused to help the Sayyida, an honorable lady, and her honorable little daughters, he has a dream. He has a dream and he sees that the day of judgment has been established. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is standing next to a magnificent palace with a flag of hamd tied around his blessed head. The wealthy man, he goes forward, he draws closer to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, he asks, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, whose palace is this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it is for a Muslim man. The wealthy man replied, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am a Muslim man who believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Upon hearing this, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, bring me a witness who is able to confirm and verify that you are truly a Muslim. Bring me a witness. He becomes extremely distressed and troubled when he hears this. And so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded him, do you remember that Sayyida lady, that offspring of mine, from whom you demanded a witness? Hearing this, he became full of sorrows. He was engulfed in sorrows. When he awakens, he immediately goes out to look for that lady, the Sayyida, an honorable lady, and her little Sayyida daughters. He goes, he searches and searches, and he finds them. He inquires everywhere, and he finds out that they are living with a non-Muslim man. So he goes to the house, he knocks on the door. He introduces himself. He says that, can you please hand over the Sayyida lady and her daughters so that I can look after them? Allahu Akbar. That man refuses. He says, I apologize, I cannot do that. Because of them living here, I have received countless of blessings. The wealthy man says, I'll give you 1,000 dinars, 1,000 gold coins. But please let me take custody of them. Please let me look after them. Let me take them away. Still, the man refuses. The wealthy man then started to trouble the Sayyida lady. And upon seeing his bad intention, the non-Muslim man says that, excuse me, I am more worthy than you of those you have come to take. The palace you saw in your dream, that non-Muslim man is telling that wealthy Muslim businessman, the palace you saw in your dream was built for me. Are you proud of your Islam? By Allah Azza wa Jal, neither I nor my entire family slept before accepting Islam at the hands of that Sayyida lady. Allahu Akbar. Because I saw a dream like yours and was blessed with the vision of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said to me, are the Sayyida lady and her daughters with you? I replied, yes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, this palace is for you and your family. Subhanallah. When he hears this, the wealthy Muslim businessman, he departs, he leaves from there. And Allah knows better than what sorrow he had when he left that place. Allahu Akbar. My dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, have you heard? That person who was not a Muslim at one stage, but because he assisted and he helped and he supported that noble family, the Sayyid family, that he was rewarded. Whoever assists the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, whoever assists the blessed family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will see the rewards. They will experience the blessings of doing that, of serving them. Subhanallah. The glorious Quran mentions in Surah Ashura, verse 23, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى. Translation from Kanz al-Iman. Say, you, O beloved, I do not ask any remuneration from you for this propagation of Islam, except your love of my close relatives. Commenting on this ayah, our master Ala Hazrat, the Imam of the Ahlu Sunnah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has mentioned that the word al-qurba, close relatives, refers to the noble Sayyids and the auspicious Ahlul Bayt Athar, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Subhanallah. Quran is telling us that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is wanting us to love his family, to respect his family, to give them due respect. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of the Ummah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever maintains a good character with anyone from my Ahlul Bayt, I will give him the reward of this on the day of judgment. So don't think that because I'm serving the Ahlul Bayt that I'm not seeing any reward. Do it firstly for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. Do it then for the pleasure of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then do it for thawab and from the truthful lips of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have it there. Whoever maintains a good character with them, with the noble Ahlul Bayt, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I will give him the reward, the thawab of this on Yawmul Qiyamah, on the Day of Judgment. In another blessed hadith, it is mentioned that whoever behaves well with any of the offsprings of Abdul Muttalib in this world, he has the right to receive its reward from me when he will meet me on the Day of Judgment. When we will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So think about it. That it's in your benefit, in my benefit, in assisting these honorable people. Because every one of us knows at least one person who is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And especially those that are financially not stable, it's in our benefit to help them as much as we can, in whichever way we can. The second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq al-A'zam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he would be so happy upon the happiness of Hasanain Karimain radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Sayyidina Imam Ja'far Sadiq rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, who was one of the elite of the noble family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he quotes and narrates from his honorable father, Sayyidina Imam Muhammad Baqir rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, that when Amirul Mu'mineen, the commander of the believers, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq al-A'zam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, received some fine clothing, some exquisite clothing from Yemen, he distributed it amongst the Muhajireen and Ansar. The people wore it and they became extremely happy. He, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, was standing between the member of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his illuminated resting place. And people were presenting themselves before him, making salam, making dua. Sayyidina Imam Hassan Hussein, radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, they appeared in front of Sayyidina Faruq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, because they left the blessed home of Sayyidina Fatima Zahra radiyallahu anha, because it was in the courtyard of Masjid al-Nabawi. And they appeared in front of Faruq Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. But they were not dressed in those fine clothing that all the other people were dressed in. As soon as Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu sees this, first, he was expressing his happiness and joy when he was seeing all the people in those fine clothes. But when he witnesses this, that Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma don't have these same fine clothes as well, the condition of his mind, his body changes. His complexion changes, his condition changes, and he becomes troubled and worried. He exclaims, Wallah, by Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm not even a little happy when I see everybody wearing these fine clothes that I have dressed them in. But Hasanain Karimain radiyallahu anhuma don't have these clothes. And so what does he do? The narrator says that Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu ta'ala anhu writes a letter and dispatches it immediately to Yemen, the ruler of Yemen, and tells him to prepare two fine and expensive suits and clothing for Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, and send them back. The ruler of Yemen, when he sees the letter, immediately he gets the tailors to make it, to prepare it, and he sends it forthwith. Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq radiyallahu anhu, he calls Sayyidina Imam Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, and he presents this gift to them. They become extremely happy. He himself becomes overjoyed when he sees them wearing these special garments, and says, by Allah Azza wa Jal, up until these two were not dressed in these new clothes, everyone else's wearing of them did not make me happy, did not please me. And another narration, having given Imam Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma those clothes to wear, he says that now I am happy. Subhanallah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
As many people will be buying new clothes, fine clothes, exquisite clothes for Eid, which is not a problem, as long as it's men don't go and wear silk clothes within the boundaries of the Sharia, what is acceptable. We should think about the less fortunate as well. And even whilst fasting, whilst the stomach is empty, whilst I'm thirsty and hungry, I should think about that as well. Because fasting is not just about going hungry and thirsty. It's also about controlling our tongues. Because a person may get angry quickly. Control the tongue. Control the mind. Control our actions. And think about those who are less fortunate. Those who are literally digging in the bins to find their next meal. Those who don't have a roof over their heads. They are sleeping on the roads and pavements, on the sidewalks. Those who don't have clothes. This one set of clothes which is torn and tattered. Allah, and don't know where the next meal is coming from. Think about them. When you're experiencing your hunger, think about their hunger. When you're experiencing your thirst, think about their thirst. When you're experiencing any difficulty, think about theirs. Because theirs will overshadow ours. We're going to break our fast with a scrumptious and delicious meal. Subhanallah. Nothing wrong in that. Don't overindulge. Don't overeat. As this is detrimental for your physical health and your spiritual health as well. Overeating makes a person lazy. And the person cannot accomplish his ibadat properly. And then of course the side effects of the physical problems like obesity and other sicknesses and diseases. Allah grant us good health, but we need to control our appetite. We need to eat wholesome foods, healthy foods, stay away from those fizzy drinks, soda pops, especially when you're opening your fast. Some people, they want to have that ice cold water or ice cold milkshake. Some open their fast with those cool drinks. This is so bad for one's body. Because when you're fasting, your stomach is hot, it's heated up. And now you're introducing something which is ice cold. So it's going to cause problems. Open your fast with a normal tap water or purified water. Then it's maybe a little bit chilled, but not ice cold with ice cubes and with khajur, with dates, which contains the necessary sugars in there to energize you. Subhanallah. Some will make sure they eat as much as they can at the time of Sehri, because they know I'm going to be hungry for the rest of the day. And then iftar time, they're going to eat as much as they can because I was hungry for the whole day. And then even after Taraweeh Salah, the person will indulge in snacks or another meal. Allahu Akbar. Try to eat healthy. Try to think about those who are less fortunate. And take a family under your wing, under your care. For the sehri, for the iftari, for new clothes for the children. If you are able to, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you can't look after the entire Ramadan, sehri and iftar, half of the Ramadan, a quarter of Ramadan, or few days of Ramadan, whatever is you are able to, by doing so, inshallah Azza wa Jal, believe me, you will really see the great rewards. You will see the great benefits that are in store in this world, in the grave and in the hereafter. Always join Madani channel. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. Special Madani Mudhakaras are there during Ramadan. Watch it, listen to it, learn something from this great Kamil Wali of Allah Azza wa Jal, from Amir Ahl Sunnah, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, from the Ulama of the Ahl Sunnah, from Darul Ifta as well. That's lots to learn. Read your book, Blessings of Ramadan, for especially the necessary rulings and masail of fasting for those who are going to sit for i'tikaf as well. Until next time, keep watching Madani channel.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Start your day with remembrance.